bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus. In his presence, the Bible says, there is fullness of joy. He said, there is fullness of joy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we expect tonight, because we're in his presence, that we have fullness of joy. Amen. Glory to God. One of the ways that you have fullness of joy is when you're free from symptoms and free from pain. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Undistracted by those things that have been trying to pull on you. The Bible says that the thief comes. There is a thief in this world. The thief comes. He tries to knock on the door. Sometimes he gets in. Sometimes people let him in. But he knocks. Sometimes he just barges in. You got to defend your ground, isn't that right? But he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he does. So if there is something stealing and killing and destroying, it is not God. Don't mix up the two. Because Jesus said the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy. He said, but I have come. I have come to bring you life and bring it more, 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 more abundantly. Glory to God. So no matter where you are with God, there's more. Amen. He didn't leave a cap on how abundant was. He just said, I came to bring you more. I came to bring you more. And so every person in here tonight is a candidate for more. More. More than what you've got. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are calling these meetings healing meetings, miracle meetings. Praise the Lord. You may have come tonight thinking, I don't really need a miracle, but you can have more life. Amen. A greater revelation, a greater impartation, a greater sense even of just the presence of the Lord. Amen. Which brings that fullness of joy, which will carry you through your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all need him. Glory to God. And of course, he doesn't get any bigger. We just see him bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives. And so sometimes it takes meetings like this to get our eyes off of those other things, off of the things that have seemed so big, and get our eyes back on focus on him, because he is the greater one. Everybody say, he's the greater one. What is he greater than? Jesus said, my Father is greater than all. Jesus said, my Father is greater than all. Greater than all. Everybody say, greater than all. So whatever you came with, our Father is greater than. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's greater than. Everybody say, he's greater than. He's greater. Hallelujah. You want to sing that song, David?
I know the chorus.
That's fine. Just sing the chorus. It's a good song.
Father is greater than all.
He's greater, amen.
He is greater.
He's greater. Amen. He's greater tonight. Can't you just sense already there's just a lift? Amen. Because when you magnify the Lord, you magnify the Lord above all else. He is then in his rightful place in your heart and in your mind, and he can take his place. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can somebody just shout glory? Glory. Is that all right here in the Poconos? Shout glory. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Can we just shout glory again? Glory! Why do we do that? Because he's greater. He's greater. Praise God. Our Father is greater than all. Greater than all. He's greater than all. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, our eyes are on you tonight, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are going to leave differently than we came in, as it's already been declared. Praise God. We say often we're in the right place at the right time. Amen. Praise the Lord with the right people, the right word. Glory to God. And with all of that going for us, you're going to leave here free. Free. Everybody say free. Could that happen on a Thursday night? Praise the Lord. Could that happen on a Thursday night? It's not even Sunday. Could God do something for you tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. He is able. Ephesians, the third chapter in the 20th verse says this. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Anybody happy so far? Is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Now sometimes, can I give you a little English lesson tonight? Would that be all right? Sometimes we sort of misquote it, and although it's okay to say it, you know, exceedingly abundantly above, but it didn't say exceedingly abundantly above. It's not all separate, it's cumulative. It's exceeding or more than abundantly above. So it is exceeding abundantly above. Can you reach? Right? It's not just that he's abundant and he's exceeding and he's above. No, he's exceeding abundantly above most of what you ask or think. No, not most. How much? All. So just when you think you have asked all that you can ask, just when you think you have reached the limit of your own understanding and oh, I sure hope God can at least do this. Why would we ever approach God and say, God, can you at least do anything? When he is exceeding abundantly above all we ask. He is not least. He is most high God. Amen. So we get our eyes on him tonight. And he is faithful. Praise the Lord. Amen. It does not matter. It does not matter what man has said. Whether they are an expert in their field or not. We have great respect for people who are experts in their field. We have great respect for bankers and doctors and lawyers and people who know more than we do in their mind. But our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And so our own brains are limited in our thinking, no matter how brilliant a man is. He is still limited in his capability because he does not inhabit eternity. We are eternal beings because we'll live forever. Amen. If you're born again with him in heaven. But if you're not born again, you don't just go to the grave and into the dirt. There is a real place called hell, and it is eternal. So we are eternal beings, but the Bible says in Isaiah that God inhabits eternity. God inhabits eternity. What does that mean? That means, listen to this, are you ready? That God lives in all of time right now. He lives in, he dwells in eternity. There is not a time or space where he is not right now. So how does that apply to us? Let me break it down for you. Can I do that? Right now you inhabit a chair. God inhabits all of time. So he does not have to look down some long corridor of time to see your future. He's already there. He's already there. Amen. So when he says things like, by his stripes we were healed, the reason we can use those kinds of tenses is because God has already accomplished. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he didn't have to look down some long corridor of time and say, I wonder if that'll work all the way up till 2015. I wonder if this will last for 2,000 and some years. Because he's already here when Jesus took it. He already saw tonight. He was already in tonight. Praise the Lord. Kind of makes your mind go, Because again, our minds are limited, our brains are limited because we do not inhabit eternity. We cannot, without the help of the Holy Spirit, see into the future. And so our brains are limited, our minds are limited to what we've seen before, right? Patterns and the way things have been usually form the way people think things will be. Because this is the way it's been, therefore that's my only experience. And so experience tells me this is what I have to look forward to. That's human nature. But let me tell you something. God inhabits eternity. And because he inhabits eternity, he has given us his word, which is already in our future. Come on. It's already there because he's already there. And so what we call a promise is already an established event in the heart of God. What we say is a promise that God said he'd supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. We say, oh God, I want that to be true. You said it's possible. No, he didn't just say it's possible. He said, that's where I am. I'm already giving it back to you if you'll give. That's why we say things are already done. Yes. Because in God, he's already there. So he's already provided everything necessary for you to receive from him. Amen. Now all he's looking for is a heart which will say, yes, Lord, I receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in the first verse, if you have a Bible, you can turn there. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in the first verse, a wonderful, wonderful scripture on faith. Says now faith, everybody say now faith. When faith? Now faith. Why can we have now faith? Because God, who inhabits eternity, listen, all he requires of you is now. All he requires of you is now. Where are you right now? Sometimes we want to make up for the past, right? We have regrets from the past sometimes. Well, I didn't do everything right, and I'm looking back at where it's been, or I'm looking back at my experience. I'm looking back at my health history, right? We're looking, doctors always want to know your history. Right? your history, your parents' history, your family history. They always want to look back. Why? Because that's the only way that they can base anything on the future is what they've seen in the past. But God doesn't look at your past to determine your future. Amen? All He asks us for is now. This moment. His mercies are new every morning. The Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 starts with that word now. Now faith is. Why is it so important to know what faith is? Why is it so important to know what faith is? Because faith is what receives from God. Because God, if you realize, you know this, that God looks at the heart of a man. The real you is your heart. We say your spirit, your heart, the real you. How many of you know there are things that you know about you that you don't tell anybody? Right? Aren't you glad there's not a big balloon over our heads tonight telling what we're thinking and what we think about ourselves and what we know and all the stuff that we've been, you know, dealing with and confusion sometimes and questions sometimes. And so there are things that only you know about you. That's you. And God looks at you. Right? He looks at your heart. Your heart is the real you. You on the inside is you. Not this, just this body. That's not you. You are in here, in the body. And so God, when He communicates with us, He doesn't communicate through your arms and your hands and your physical ears. He communicates through your heart. John chapter 4 said, God is a spirit. And those that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. The good news is we are spirit, so we can worship Him in spirit. That's the real us. And so if God's going to communicate with us and He looks at our heart, the heart is where we believe Him. We don't believe with our brain. Your brain's involved, but you don't believe with your brain. You believe with your heart. And so God looks at your heart, not just what you know, but what you believe. Amen? What you believe. And so if He's looking at the heart, and that's where faith lives, faith is of the heart. Faith is how God connects with us. It's where we believe. So these are healing meetings and miracle meetings, but miracles don't happen just because something happened physically. It happens because someone believed something in their heart. And God was able then to connect through the heart by faith. So now faith is. So if faith is the way that we're going to connect with God, we got to find out what it is, how it works, so we can just cooperate with Him. Isn't that right? You know, it's kind of like this. It's like electricity. Electricity, really, do you realize that electricity is God's power? It's not man's power. Right? Man discovered the laws that govern the operation of electricity, but man didn't invent it. Isn't that right? It's God's power, but it's His power in the natural realm. And so man discovered how to cooperate with electricity to get the benefits of electricity. If you don't cooperate, come on, how many of you know, if you don't cooperate with it, it can hurt you. Right? It can do all kinds of things you don't want it to do, or it can just not work. There are certain metals that are better conductors of electricity. Isn't that right? And so when you find out what's the best way, then you get the best benefit. It's no different with God's power in the supernatural realm, which we often call the anointing. That's God's power in the supernatural realm, in the spirit realm. So just like God's power in the natural realm, there are laws that govern the operation of it. You need to come in contact with it properly to get the benefits. The same thing is true with the anointing or God's power in the realm of the spirit. There are certain things that you do or don't do to really get the benefit of His power. Amen. And that great thing that receives, the best conductor, if you will, of the anointing is that thing we call faith. Believing in our heart. All God is looking for is a believing heart. He's not looking at how awesome of a person you are, or your economic background, or your family background, or he's only looking at, are you believing him now? Now, faith is, the next phrase says, the substance. Ooh, I like that word, substance. Now, faith is the substance. Don't you like substance? Substance is something then that is tangible, isn't it? It's not just something in the air. Substance. Substance is a thing you can feel or touch or taste or experience. So now faith is the substance of what? Of things. Now this is the tricky part. For some people, it's the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. And then it goes on to say, it is the evidence of things not seen. So in other words, then faith will bring the evidence of the things that you haven't seen yet. It'll bring that into this realm where you can see it. All right. So that's why we're talking about why faith is so important, is because it brings things from the realm of the unseen into the realm of the seen. It becomes substance. That's how God moves, through faith, through our heart, through our believing him. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the reason I said it's kind of the tricky part sometimes, that word hope kind of trips people up. Because in our society, in our culture, that word hope kind of just means wish or desire. Yet hope in the Bible sense is not merely a wish or a desire. It is always, in the New Testament, the word hope always means expectation. And expectation is different than desire. You can desire to be well and not expect to be well. Isn't that true? You can want it with all your heart and never expect it to happen. You can expect something and not desire it. You can expect the flu. Doesn't mean you want it. But you can expect, well, every year I get the flu. Or every year I get the allergies. You can expect all kinds of symptoms. Why? Because of your past, what you have experienced, right? And again, our past experiences form in our brain, form what we're going to look for in the future, because this is the way it's always been. So it's not that I want it that way, but I do expect it. So if we change our expectation, if we change our expectation, then faith will give substance to what we expect. But haven't we been told just about all our lives, don't get your hopes up? Don't get your hopes up. And so we can put a banner out on the fence and say miracle and healing, and people can want it, and never expect it to happen. Why? Oh, I don't want to get my hopes up. Sure would like it to be so. Sure would like those healings to be so. I'll go see if anything happens, but I really don't much expect any change. not really expecting much change because I haven't really experienced it before. I haven't really seen much of it before. And therefore, all I have to go on is what I sure would like to happen. But what's my guarantee? Look with me, if you have a Bible, to Titus. Titus, the first chapter. Titus chapter 1, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Keep going, I like that. Thank you, Jesus. God's opening our hearts this evening, amen? So that we can connect with Him. Because He is delivering healing in this house tonight. Glory to God, glory to God. Bodies are being healed tonight. You don't have to wait for hands to be laid on you, incidentally. Oftentimes, people are healed just by listening to the Word, receiving the Word. Faith rises in your heart, and all of a sudden, God's got a clear entrance then into that place. Hallelujah. Often just sitting in your seat. Praise the Lord. Actually, as a matter of fact, that happened to Miss Phyllis last evening. She said she received a healing, didn't even have to get in the line. Just by hearing the Word, received something that she was believing God for. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Look here in Titus, first chapter. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Look at verse 2. In hope, everybody say in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Before time began. Now that word hope here, once again, if it just meant desire, if it just meant desire or wish or want, how could we have any certainty at all what the will of the Lord is, even where eternal life is concerned? Because Paul said, in hope of eternal life. If Paul was uncertain about eternal life, we're all in trouble. Right? He's given us the revelation in the New Testament of our future in God and what Jesus did for us and accomplished on the cross. If he's not sure about eternal life, we're all in big trouble. So that can't mean just wish or desire or want. I sure want eternal life. Sure wish it was true. Wouldn't it be great? No, what does he say? In hope of eternal life, in expectation of eternal life. Why? Because God, who cannot lie, promised. God, who cannot lie, promised. What produces then Bible hope, Bible expectation, is knowing that God, who cannot lie, promised. And if you have a promise from God, you can expect. So you can say this, a definition of Bible hope would be this, an expectation of a future certainty. Let me say it again. Bible hope is an expectation of a future certainty. So let's put that into perspective a little bit. Now faith, right? We said faith is now. Now faith is the substance, one translation says, gives substance to things expected, right? So there's a future in expectation. There's a future in hope. But faith gives substance to that expectation of something that was in the future and brings it into your present. Sounds kind of like God to me. Something that you had expected in the future, because God can't lie. You're thinking in your heart, you're saying, I believe that God is able to do what I have entrusted him to. Amen. What he has promised in his word. And so I can see it out there in my future. I can see that happening. I can expect that to happen. Faith then will bring that expectation into your present realm. Faith takes what hope is looking at and grabs a hold of it and brings it into your present. So hope, expectation, is very important. If hope was on a meter, like a thermometer, you know, a thermometer can be high, it can be low, right, with the temperature. It's not the same every day, right? It can be high one day and low another day. Same thing is true with our expectation. So we can expect big, we can expect little. It's not a set point. Expectation is in your hands, not in God's. It's in your hands. What you expect then on this meter, if this is your expectation, whatever you're expecting is what faith gives substance to, or what faith sinks its teeth into. So if your expectation is high, your faith can produce what we would call a greater result. If your expectation is low, there's still good news. Why? Faith will still produce. It's just on a different level. It's just on a what we would call maybe a lower level, sometimes a little bit longer time. Huh? So we say sometimes, how come that person seems to get everything all the time and that person doesn't get much at all? It's most likely not a faith issue, but an expectation issue. Faith works. Amen? People say sometimes, I've had a faith failure. No, you had an expectation failure. Or you just quit. You can give up on faith. Faith will never give up on you. Amen? Let me give you an example of giving up on faith. Peter was in a boat with the other disciples one time. Jesus came walking on the water. Do you remember? Jesus came walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. I know you'll want me to do it too. And so Jesus said, come. Why would Jesus say come if he knows Peter's just a man? Everything Jesus did on this earth, he did as a man, anointed by God. He did it by faith. So Jesus is already walking by faith on the water. Not because he's Jesus, because he believes God. So Jesus is walking on the water. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. He said, come. Come on. Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. Come on, he did it, didn't he? I don't know how far he walked. But the Bible tells us that all of a sudden he began to look at the waves, right? And the wind and all that kind of stuff. And suddenly thought, wait a second, I can't do this. Well, let me give you a newsflash. You could never do it by yourself. But he was walking by faith. He was walking on what? What Jesus said he could do. He was walking because Jesus said, you can do this. And he walked on that word from God who cannot lie. Right? He walked on it, but all of a sudden, remember, expectation can be high or it can be low. All of a sudden, he's thinking, wait a minute, this is impossible. This wasn't possible a minute ago. It's not going to be possible 5 minutes from now. You know, he's thinking all of a sudden all the things that are going against him. Like, wait a second. You can't walk on water. This isn't right. And he's looking at the waves as if walking on calm water is any easier than walking on wavy water. Sure would be nice if this was calm. Wouldn't life be good if it was just calm all the time? It's no more possible to walk on calm water than it is wavy water. And so Peter's looking at the waves. All of a sudden, he's looking at everything else. He began to sink, right? He called out, said, Lord, save me. Well, I don't think they swam back to the boat. You think Jesus swam back? No, they both walked back, didn't they? But then Jesus said this to him. he said, Peter, oh thou of... Wait. Didn't he just walk on water? And Jesus said he had how much faith? So how much faith does it take to walk on water? We think this thing that we're facing is going to take enormous faith. We think, I've got to accumulate more and more faith before I can use it. I'm just going to pile on the faith. I'm just going to get more and more faith. I have to have more faith, Lord. That's what I need, more faith. I need more faith, more faith. Why? Because this thing is huge that I'm facing. So my faith is going to have to equal how big that mountain is. So I probably don't have enough faith. So why should I even do anything? Jesus said, oh, thou of little faith. So apparently it only takes a little faith to walk on water. But what else was he lacking then? He quit. He gave up. He could have kept going, but instead he decided all these other things mattered more, right? All these other things that he has experience with, the things he sees in the natural, the waves, the wind, my brain, remember your brain isn't always right just because you think it. My brain tells me that wind, waves, all this stuff, this is impossible. My brain is calculating that in my past experience, walking on top of this is impossible. Therefore, in my future, it probably won't be possible. And so he gave up. He thought, wait, I don't think I can do this. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? In other words, why did you stop? Why did you stop? It wasn't a matter of how much faith he had, because he was walking with little faith. But he quit using what he had. And oftentimes that is our demise. We just stop. We just stop. And why is that? Because sometimes the journey is a little longer than we had expected. And so we think, maybe I'm on the wrong road, or maybe I'm on the wrong direction, and so I'll just give up now. I don't see my destination. This is why we must expect. Do you see? Let me give you another example. Anybody use GPS? You use GPS in your car? You know, you get in your car and you've got GPS. And I like our GPS because we're in so many different places all the time, you know, new places we've never been to. And so GPS really helps us, and it gives us, you know, an estimated arrival time on the GPS as well. It tells you, you know, you're going to get there at 10 minutes after 4. So you set out, and oftentimes we'll put in our destination for tomorrow, you know, in our GPS before we go to bed at night. So when we know how much time to plan for, it'll take you 45 minutes to get to the airport. So we know, right? So we'll get that ready. But then again, other things come into play, don't they? It's not just a matter of distance or speed, right? It is also a matter of traffic, huh? And those kinds of things as well. And so traffic comes into play, maybe there's an accident on the road, or maybe there's construction or something else, right? Your destination has not changed, right? Your expectation has not changed. I'm still going where I said I'm going, but the time changes, right? Now it's not 10 after 4. Now it's starting to say 4:12, 4:18. 4:40, you know. I was last week driving over to Long Island, and I didn't have to be there at a certain time, so it was a good thing. But nevertheless, and I knew I was going to encounter traffic, so I kind of watched my GPS. That's why I've got 4:10 in my mind. It said I'd be there at 4:10. Guess what time I got there? 5:10. Not bad, just an extra hour. Right? Just an extra hour. But the destination did not change. Just because the length of time it took to get there, I didn't get in my car and stop the car on the side of the road and go, oh man, I'm never going to get there. I must be on the wrong road. I don't know. I made a mistake. My GPS must not be taking me where I thought it was going to take me, because now the time to get there is all wrong. Well, maybe there was an accident up front that maybe we, you know, you can't anticipate what else somebody else is going to do. Right? So we get on the right road and it takes longer, and spiritually, sometimes we give up. Well, then our expectation's not on the right thing. Our expectation is in the time factor, not in the destination. Can I say that again? Yeah. Our expectation was on how much time a thing would take, not on the destination, where we're going. Never misplace your trust. Never misplace your faith on the time a thing takes. Because time with God is not an issue. He inhabits what? Eternity. It's always now with God. It's always now with God. Our faith, our expectation must be on the destination, not on the time it takes to get there. Because your expectation can fluctuate. You can be, I mean, I'm on this project. I am full steam ahead. Symptom hits you, bam, you're you know, out for the count, seems like sometimes. Or you just, there's sometimes a weakness sets in and you're like, well, I must be on the wrong road. No, you're not. Keep your destination ahead. The enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He'll throw his best at you. But you're like, wait, no. My destination is what God, who cannot lie, promised. That's my destination. Praise the Lord. Are you getting something tonight? Your destination is the fact that God laid forth. You can say, you know, it takes 20 minutes to get to this place or 20 minutes to get to that place. But then you got to factor in traffic or something else. Something else may come that you don't know about. You're still going to your destination. But we misplace sometimes our expectation. And oftentimes people will say this, something to this effect. We're here to help you connect with God tonight. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Sometimes, because if we have our hope deferred, the Bible says hope deferred, what? Makes the heart sick. But it also then says that hope is an anchor for our soul. That expectation is an anchor for our emotional realm. If we have a real expectation in the destination and what God promised, it can anchor your emotional state. You don't have to be up and down in the middle of it. Amen. But if hope is deferred, and I say it this way because we come in contact with all kinds of people in all kinds of situations, and sometimes people will say this, pray, I'm going for tests, pray that I'll get a good report. Well, where in the Bible, where in God's word, does it promise you that the doctors will give you a good report? It doesn't. What does it say? By his stripes we were healed. That's our destination. That's our destination. What God said is our destination. We twist things around and say, well, this is what I want. I want the doctors to give me a good report. Well, then what if the doctors don't give you a good report? Traffic. That's traffic on your GPS. There's an accident ahead. Weren't expecting it. Something beyond your control. And all of a sudden we're like, wait a second, did the destination change? No, it did not. But we had our eyes on the fact that it would get us a certain You know, we're not looking at the word for the answer. We're looking at what we just want or wish. But what did God say? What did he say? Do you ever do that with your kids? What did I say? Right? And your kids go, well, I thought maybe, you know, we could do this. Yeah, but what did I say? Well, you said, right? And they got to admit, this is what you said. So why'd you try to get away with something else? Well, I thought maybe you wouldn't mind if we... See, we're always trying to get away with something. Even when we're grown up. We say, well, we ran into a man one time who had formerly attended the church we attended, and we ran into him in an airport, in the Atlanta airport one time, and so we were catching up, you know, and he said, well, how's so-and-so, and how's so-and-so, and we're catching up, and he asked us about another friend, a minister of our, a friend of ours, and he said, man, I just always loved his ministry. He said, you know, I tithe to him more than I tithe to the church. And Kevin said, I'm sorry, what did you say? He said, I tithe to that guy more than I tithe to the church. Kevin said, that's not possible. He said, you might have given more to that guy than you gave to the church. But the tithe belongs to the church. It's 10%. You can't more tithe here and more tithe there. Huh? And he said, so really, you weren't tithing to the church unless you gave at least 10% to the church. You can give that guy more if you want to, but it's not tithing. Right? Why do you say that? It's not an opinion. It's what did God say? Well, this guy goes, oh, well, I have a deal worked out with God. So he thought. In other words, I do what I want and say God told me it's okay. And so we have all kinds of deals we think we've worked out with God. I'm trying, Pastor Sarah. I'm making it plain. We have all kinds of things we've worked out with. Well, I just believe it this way. Right? Because the world changes the rules all the time about all kinds of things. And so they say, well, I have a right to believe what I want. Well, you can, but it doesn't make it right. You have a right to believe it, but believing it doesn't make it right. The only thing we know is right is the truth of God's word. Right? So the thing that we're, the destination is what he said. And if we know what he said, we have a guaranteed destination. Pastor Greg said it at the beginning of this service, there is a guarantee. What is the guarantee? God cannot lie. And because we know that God cannot lie, our expectation can be through the roof. We don't have to settle for low expectation. Getting our hopes up ought to be easy. When we were kids, our parents told us, don't get your hopes up, right? They said, you know, don't get your hopes up. Why? Because maybe we won't be able to provide that for you. Maybe we don't have the funds. Maybe it's not practical, whatever it is. But instead of just saying no, they said, don't get your hopes up. But do you remember what it was like to have your hopes up? Maybe it's been a while. To get your hopes up, what has to be involved is your imagination. We think in images. We think in pictures. When we see the Word of God, by His stripes, we were healed. Sometimes we're trying to like take that typewritten page or those typewritten words and somehow paste them on the place that hurts. I gotta put the word on me. Is it working? But expectation or hope, when you get your hopes up, it's because you've seen it on the inside. You get a picture. What does it look like to be healed? What do I look like healed? What can I do healed that I couldn't do before? Dare to see yourself with your answer. Dare to see yourself at your destination, not just on the road. Well, I'm in the car. But you got to see yourself where you're going. Don't you do that when you drive somewhere? When you know where you're going, you know when you get there. Right? Sometimes we say a woman who is pregnant, we say she's expecting. Right? What's she expecting? A baby. This is not a trick question. I know the world's tried to make it all kinds of things, but nevertheless, it's still a baby. Right? And so when she finds out she's pregnant and she calls her family, you know, guess what? We're expecting. What are you expecting? I have no idea. The doctor just told me I'm pregnant. We hope it's a baby. We don't know. Right now, it's just cells dividing. No. What is it? It's a baby. But it's developing every moment, every day. Something's happening toward the destination, toward the finished. Right? And so when it's time, she doesn't have to make it happen. She delivers. When it's time, fully developed, praise the Lord, miracle of God. No matter how many times it happens, it's a miracle, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And so the doctor says, congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. You're the proud parents of a brand new puppy. Well, that's not what we were expecting. But oh well, I guess God knows what we can handle. We wanted a baby, but this is what showed up. Would you do that? Absolutely not. No, no, no. But spiritually, so many people say, well, it wasn't what I was expecting, but this is what showed up. Then guess what? You're not done. You're not done. Are you with me? What do I mean by that? Even last night we were here and we ministered by the laying on of hands, right? People received and pain left. Amen. The lady right back here, pain in her knees left. Praise God. But oftentimes we'll say, tell us what's different. And they'll go, well, it's better. And they say it with this kind of attitude of, well, it's better. Could you have done better by yourself? No. Well, then it's God, right? We're just not all the way finished. We're moving toward our destination, aren't we? Right? People are afraid to say, well, I'm 10 miles on the road. I'm not all the way there yet, but you're on the road, right? So we don't take our faith off of it till you get to your destination. And as soon as you acknowledge that God is already moving, I'm telling you, He can get you there like that. But sometimes we're just, you know, we're like, well, I don't know, it's a little better. And like we're disappointed that something started. Shouldn't we be going, glory to God, it's already less pain. Already less pain. I've got more mobility. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. Right? The reason we don't get excited sometimes is because we put our expectation in the wrong place. It's got to be on the destination. What God said. What did He say? These signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will lay hands on the sick and they will be well. Recover means to be well. To be well. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll be well. So the destination is be well. Be well. That's the destination. That's where our expectation is. Can you see yourself well? See yourself well. If you see yourself well, as soon as the pain starts to lessen, you're like, hey, I'm on my way. Instead of, well, something's a little different. Well, is your eye on the desk? Can you see yourself well? Can you see yourself cancer free? Amen. Can you see yourself with your blood pressure normal? Can you see yourself with full mobility? Can Can you see yourself able to eat anything without discomfort? Praise the Lord. Can you dare to see it? Can you see yourself walking upstairs without fear? Can you see yourself walking into a dining room at a restaurant? You see yourself and you know sometimes people are like, oh, I have to have a certain kind. Oh, they don't have the chair I can sit in. Oh no. Or you're like, okay, first I got to know where the bathroom is. First thing. Or you go to someone's house and you're like, oh, stairs. Where's your expectation? Can you see yourself well? Can you get your hopes up? Because see, if you are protecting yourself from disappointment, because that's what it is when you don't get your hopes up, you're protecting yourself, aren't you, from disappointment? What if it doesn't happen? Nobody wants to be hurt. But God's not out to hurt anybody. Who does the stealing and the killing and the destroying? The enemy, the devil. Who has come to give you greater life? God. Amen. And so what are we protecting ourselves disappointment from? Our past thoughts and our past record. I've never seen it happen yet. So if you're saying, I don't want to get my hopes up, what you've done is you've covered that place where faith lives and you've closed it down in your heart. And God's trying to get in. God's trying to get through to you. And you're like, yeah, but I'm protecting that place. I don't want to open it up. I don't want to open that up because God might disappoint me. So therefore, I'll just shield myself from disappointment. You do that and you don't receive. But remember, God who promised cannot lie. Your parents may have done one thing or another. They're not your ultimate source or provider. God is. And He loves you more than you can possibly know. So He is reaching out to us, and all He asks for you is now. Now. Can you give Him faith now? Can you expect the destination? Can you expect what He said? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe expectations rising tonight. Amen. What is it you need from God? What is it you need? These are healing meetings, miracle meetings. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. We told the testimony last evening. A young woman who came to our service and she had had over 20 surgeries because she had tumors that kept growing in her stomach and in her female organs. And she'd had all these surgeries, and they finally completely removed her stomach, completely removed it, and removed her ovaries as well. She came to our meeting, and she said, I said, what'd you come for? She said, I came for a new stomach. That's good expectation, right? She said, I came for a new stomach. I said, praise the Lord. I know God, and He has them. Amen? So we laid our hands on her. And the power of God went into her. We often can tell when the power leaves our hands and goes into you. And so we laid our hands on her. The power of God went into her. I acknowledge. I said, the power of God went into you. Praise the Lord. The next day she came and she said, well, I will tell you this. Of course, you know, overnight I haven't been to the doctor. But she said, the day they removed my stomach, they told me I would never feel hungry again. I would never feel that sensation of being hungry after they took my stomach. She said, but I woke up this morning hungry. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, we got excited and we shouted and we praised God. She said, I woke up hungry. Awesome. Well, that was enough for us just to say praise the Lord, because the doctor said, you'd never feel hungry without a stomach. All of a sudden, she's feeling hungry. Only thing we can tell is she must have a stomach. She went back to the doctor some months later. They did an endoscopy where they go down there and look at everything, and they did it periodically because they had to keep monitoring her. And so they said, well, this time it was strange. They said, number one, we couldn't find any of your scars this time after 20 surgeries. We couldn't find any of your scars. And the little pouch we left at the end of your esophagus is bigger. She said, I have a stomach. A little while later, she had to go to the ER for a pain, and they took her to the ER, and the doctors did all these tests, and finally they came back and said, well, you had a cyst on your ovary. He told the husband, your wife had a cyst on her ovary, and it burst, but she's going to be all right. And the husband said, glory to God, a cyst on her ovary. The doctor said, I don't think you understand. He said, no, you don't understand. There weren't any ovaries in there. Praise the Lord. Amen. What? Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Praise the Lord. Things that were dead can be resurrected by the power of God. Amen. Organs that have died off, or portions of it, you know, damage to different organs. Maybe there's damage to your heart. Maybe a portion of your heart has died. Resurrection power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe the doctor said your pancreas is dead. Resurrection power tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Maybe he said nerves are dead. Maybe they said this, maybe they said that, but who are they? And when did they give you the power, have the power to give you anything? Somebody said, the doctors gave me 6 months to live. Who are they, and when did they get the power to give you any months to live? That is not in their hand. Amen. My Father is greater than all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.